as I was preparing the sermon. This song just keep on ringing in my ears. Thy loving kindness is better than life. So I look up, I said, I know it's in Psalm. Where? I look up concordance. It's not there. Then it occurred to me, the concordance is in ESV. And this verse is in King James Version. So I look up my King James Bible. Then I finally find it. It's in Psalm 63:3. It was just a beautiful, tremendously beautiful psalm. And especially if you read it in King James Version, it's even better. So I don't know if I provided for you the next slide. There it is. Let's read it once. Thy loving kindness is better than life. Thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee. And then thy loving kindness is better than life. Why did David say this verse? Especially the fact that thy loving kindness is better than life, even life. And before I give you the answer, I will tell you a true story. The next slide, please. This face probably not very familiar to you, but if you go to Alaska, the highest mountain in Alaska is named after him, Mount McKinley. Mount McKinley was a president about 120 years ago. And when he was campaigning to be the president, there was a young reporter that works for the opposition newspaper. And everywhere he went, this reporter would tail him. And this reporter will report something that's not very true, shaky things. He kind of a biased reporter, like some, we have some today too. Now, one day when McKinley was riding his carriage enclosed, warm inside, it was bitterly cold outside, and this reporter trying to sit next to the driver, and he was shivering. He thought that McKinley didn't know he was outside. But McKinley, no. McKinley invited him to sit inside. And that was really nice to enjoy the trip. From that point on, this young reporter never reported unfair or biased message. He realized that McKinley was a good man. And of course, McKinley got elected. Now, the act of kindness, loving kindness, is not found this day very much. But in the Bible, if you remember your Sunday school classes, there are so many stories of loving kindness of our Lord. For example, the next one, next slide. This is Joseph. Joseph was sold by his brother as a slave, and he ended up in Egypt. But the Lord was with him, the Lord blessed him, and he became the number two man in Egypt. And he forgave his brothers who sold him. And when his brother came to beg to buy food from Egypt, he told him this next very famous statement from Genesis chapter 50. And he said, as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people would be kept alive as they are today. Of course, this is a foreshadow of our Lord Jesus Christ, like we earlier sung the hymns. But here is an act of extreme kindness. He never remembered the things that they did for him. The Bible is full of kindness, God's loving kindness. I just run through them quickly for you. The next slide. You see Adam and Eve. They were chased out of the Garden of Eden. And guess what's on their coat, on the body? They have warm clothes. God has provided for them. Even though they have sinned so grievously, God loved them. God was kind to them so that they would not be in the cold weather. Next slide. And I jump very quickly to the New Testament. When the Lord came to earth, when we sing the hymn earlier, he came down to earth. He was born. And then next slide. Then he rose again after he was nailed to the cross. He rose again from the dead. The resurrection. All of this is an act of God's kindness to us. The next slide, please. In the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit descended upon the people. And they were gathered. And many became Christians. Thousands of became Christian on that day. That was God's kindness. Next slide. And you see here, Paul preaching to the Gentiles. Without that act, you and I would never have become Christian. Paul preaching to the world, the gospel reached out. Next slide, please, quickly. And in the book of Revelation, we're given the fact Christ will come back again. He will come back again. And he will create, this next slide, the new heaven and the new earth. This is our hope. When you look through the Old Testament and New Testament, it's completely God's act of loving kindness. Men have sinned grievously, and men needed a Savior. And God has a plan of salvation, redeeming us from sin. And he has written this book with his own blood. So the whole Bible is God telling us that he loves us. His loving kindness is beyond comparison. Next slide. God's loving kindness is not changeable. Because of his faithfulness, because of who he is, his attributes, he cannot change his loving kindness. And God's loving kindness is unchangeable. It cannot be changed because God's power and God's wisdom is based on based on that. But I indicated here in the last place here, God's love, loving kindness, remember this word, has two parts. Love and kindness. Love is the motivation. Kindness is the action. Love is from God. Kindness is to us. So when God directed love to us in this arrow, do you think we can reverse the arrow and turn back to God? Well, that's a good question. Do we have God's love, agape love? No. Do we have the motivation to love God? No. We don't have all of that. So this arrow cannot be reversed. In fact, in the day and age that we live in, in the day of age that we are here, next slide, there's cultural reality that we face every day. There's no kindness. If you look around, do you see many kindness act? The newspaper, if you read the newspaper, what do you see? The spirit of lies and division is found, but it's a product of Satan. Satan is working today, and he come to deceive you and me. The Bible says in the last days, the parents will turn against the children, and the children will turn against the parents. What an awful thing to be. And if you read the paper today, even just a couple days ago, there's shooting in the school, there's shooting in the office, there's terrorist bombing, and there's a religious group that turned into extremist, turned into, they call it by radicalized people. And even our political party, they're fighting all the time. There's no peace there. The political parties are infested with extremists. And they are loud, speaking very loud these days. So in the whole cultural environment that we live in, we see discord, confusion, hatred, and all of this. So there's no kindness that we would like to see. But come back to David's Psalm 63. Why did he say, your loving kindness is better than life? God's love is valued much more than life itself. Well, we can go to the next slide, please. God's love is better than life. David experienced this. Now, think about David's life a little bit. His life is very luxurious, peaceful, only toward the very end. His early life are full of turmoil. He was in many wars. He was being persecuted by King Saul. And he ran. And he's like a fugitive. He was in the woods, in the desert. He had not a day of peaceful life. But he still said, your loving kindness is better than this life that I have, this life of peril and tribulation. Why did David become like that? Well, did you know that persecution make David stronger? Did you know that suffering did not break him? And every time persecution comes to his life, he will look to God. Lord, help me. Read the Psalms. Many Psalms have that. Save me, Lord, from my enemies. Deliver me from this peril. Help me. Every time when he is in trouble, the first thing he did not ask for help from anybody else, God, help me. And every time, God helped him. God never failed. So in his life, he experienced God's faithfulness. He experienced God's love. Therefore, his experience tells him God's loving kindness is better than life. God's loving kindness is much better than life. But today, you and I live in these United States. And in the city of Alpharetta, Johns Creek, Cummings, all these places, do we experience persecution, suffering? I would think that none of us do. How do we, in the peace time, how can we experience God's love? How can we experience it? Loving kindness is better than life. It's hard, isn't it? We have too much comfort and peace. We experience the cultural environment around us. And Satan tempts us and says, I give you luxury. And he tempts us with our pride and with our pleasure. He even tempts us for us to be positive thinking. And we can do it all. We have our abilities. The technology age, we can do everything. That's Satan's deception. It's pretty scary, the day that we live. But I want you to look at this verse in the book of 1 John 4:4. 1 John 4:4 is for you, for me, 4:4. 1 John 4:4. John says, little children, you are from God and have overcome the world. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Now just remember this part. He who is in you is greater than he who is in this world. We do not fight this cultural war alone. We have the one who is in us fighting for us. Who is this he who is in you? Who is he? Holy Spirit, you're right. The Holy Spirit that lives in you. Remember the day you become a Christian. The first day you become a Christian, the Holy Spirit started to indwell in you, live in you. You may not be much aware of him yet, but then gradually you sense the Holy Spirit presence. He began to work. He began to do his mighty work in you. He will teach you. He will rebuke you. He will teach you all things to be of righteousness. So the Holy Spirit begins to work in you. And gradually, you sense him more. You sense his presence more. But then there are some times when you backslide. When you backslide, what do? You do not have the energy to study the Word of God. You come to church and you grow cold. The sermon doesn't mean much to you. But that's the time when you begin to grow. We have to be patient with ourselves. The Holy Spirit that lives in you is mightier, stronger. He knows everything. He knows your need. He has meticulous timing. And when you need him, there he is. He will speak softly to your ears. Hey man, don't go there. Hey man, do this and you'll be okay. If you tune your ears to that still small voice, then you will experience his love and his help to help you grow. That's the way it happens. Now, the Holy Spirit has a secret weapon. The Holy Spirit has this weapon to help us open the treasure chest of God's love. What is the secret weapon? The Word of God. The next slide. Okay, earlier we read the whole passage from the love chapter. This is a great chapter. I'm not worthy really to expound on this chapter. It's so great. Actually, you know, this chapter is for us, every one of us, to learn. But indeed, it describes our God. This is a chapter describing God's love, agape love, unconditional love. It does not describe us, but it's for us to look at and learn from this chapter. So, just the middle part, let's read it together. As we read, I have a chance to quench my throat. Love, let's read together. Love is patient and kind. Thank you. If you look at this a little bit, you see it records things that are to do and not to do, the two parts. To do this and don't do this. Do this, not do this. These can be divided in two parts. And if you look at the to-do list, love is patient and kind. Love is does not know, okay? All those to-do things are really hard to do, aren't they? Do you agree? The to-do things are very hard to do. But on the other hand, the not-to-do things are easy to do. In other words, it's easy to envy, it's easy to be jealous, it's easy to look at, elevate yourself, So all this, this is not to-do list. Yeah, but the to-do list are hard. The not to-do list are, thank you for anticipating this. So it's a long, long list of things. This is so tough for us to learn for the rest of our life and never accomplish. Well, I share with you two secrets. The to-do list and the not-to-do list are diametrically opposite, aren't they? They're exactly the opposite. In other words, if you're patient, you will not be irritable. And if you're kind, you think of other people. You would not think only of yourself. So they're opposites. So if you work on one list, the other list will slowly diminish and even disappear. So that's good news. We work on one list. The second secret I want to let you know is this, and I found out about this only recently. God does not keep a record of the not-to-do list. In God's book, He only keeps a record of what you have done, the good things that you have done. Who keeps this bad list? Satan did. Yeah, Satan did. So he can accuse us before God. Look, so-and-so, he did this. He forgot. He did it again. Satan keeps that list. But Satan is not in charge. Satan does not have the power over you. He who is in you is greater than he who is in this world. So the two secrets that work on the to-do list and knowing that God keeps a record. And one day he will tell you, good and faithful servant, you have done well. You have really done all the things that you learned of me. So with this, we are encouraged to work on the to-do list. To-do list, how can we work on that? Let me ask you some questions. How do we help ourselves to be more patient, to be more kind, to be more gentle? Do we have the ability to say, I'm determined today to be nice to my wife, to be good to my friend, and to be very helpful? New Year resolution is always there, but it's kept for a month or so. So we do not have the power, do not have the energy, motivation to do the to-do list. How can we do that? How can we do it then? Here it is, the power that's in you. It's a reality. It's not an imaginary thing. The Holy Spirit that lives in you also helps you, also help. His mighty power. He also knows exactly where you are, at what stage of life are you in, what needs you have, how can you be improved, how can you grow in grace and love. He knows. And he focuses on some of God's attributes. As you become a Christian, as you desire to grow, he helps you grow with the words like 1 Corinthians, patient and kind, rejoice with the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. So the Holy Spirit begins to work this list in your heart. And as you realize that he's speaking to you with that ever still small voice, you begin to turn to his direction. You begin to follow some of these. Your life begins to transform. And you come to know him more and more. And as you become more receptive to him, he encourages you. He does not discourage. He encourages you. Hey, you've done well. Go on, do some more. Your faith is growing. Your Christian life is growing. Go ahead, do some more. So you are encouraged to do that. Now ask your question now. Have you seen new Christians among you? I'm sure there are many new Christians with our young people here. Have you seen these new Christians in the adult group here? Yeah, they are new Christians too. What do you see in them? There is a new spirit, a spirit of joy, a spirit of excitement. They're going everywhere to tell people, oh, the Lord Jesus is wonderful. Believe in him. Come and trust him. Come to our church and hear the sermon. And come to the Sunday school. Come to our fellowship group that we can learn together as a group. So the new Christians are very enthusiastic. And this indicates the Holy Spirit is working. Holy Spirit is working in their lives. So, am I painting too rosy a picture? It's not always like that, is it? There are moments of setback. There are moments of discouragement. There are times when we do not grow. But look at the tree that's planted in the ground. Every year, this tree grows bigger and taller. Look at the infants. We have a few infants in our midst. Look at the infants. I'm thinking of my granddaughter. Already 2 years old. Boom, just like yesterday. They grow. If you have a life in Christ, if you have the Holy Spirit in you, you will grow. Because the Spirit is there. He cannot be stopped. He will help you work on this to-do list. How about the not-to-do list? Let's look at the not-to-do list. The not-to-do list, you say, I can neglect it, I can just give up. Even if you give up, the Holy Spirit does not give up. The Holy Spirit will insist, and he will again hush and talk to you in a small voice. Hey, that's not honoring to God, you know. Don't do that. And you are causing God to be grieved. So, if you listen to that small voice, gradually you'll turn away from envy, from boasting, and from insisting on your own way, from being easily irritable, resentful, and rejoicing at the wrong things. You will turn away from that. But the last word I have for you is this. It's happening. It's happening in your life. But be patient. Be patient. There are some people who have very strong wills, who have very tough heads. But God can use that. God can use strong people just as much as he can use sensitive people. David is sensitive. David can sense before anybody else the God's presence. When he did something wrong, he would say, oh my God, I'm grieving God. David is like that. David, when he's rejoicing, seeing God is doing working in his life, he will say, I will praise you. I will praise your name. Among the people, I will raise my hand and praise you. David is a sensitive person. Let's hope we are all sensitive to God's presence and not be so stubborn and so hard to listen to God. Let's come to God. I just want to close by singing this, the closing hymn, Thy Loving Kindness. Do we have the music? We don't have the song. Well, I'll just close with a word of prayer then. Let's bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, we come confessing our sins of taking your love for granted. you love us enough to send your only son to die on the cross, but we do not even love our neighbors enough to be kind to them. Help us in our weaknesses, and help us to love those whom you love. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen.